Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
But we begin with politics and President Trump's suggestion that NFL players who are protesting during the national anthem be fired. You've heard a lot about it this morning on newscasts. As the political junkie and a sports journalist from The Washington Post join us, I want to know what you think. Are the players who are kneeling during the national anthem or even showing their support for others who do, showing what you think is necessary concern about injustice in America, or are they simply showing disrespect, as the president has suggested? We'll open the phone lines here, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. You can talk to me about it on Twitter, as many of you are doing. It's at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I-M-P-R. Ken Rudin is with us. He's the political junkie with us most Mondays. Welcome back, Ken. Good to have you on the show.
Carrie, I want you to know I'll be sitting during this entire interview at a protest.
I expected nothing less. Cindy Bourne is with us. She's a sports reporter for The Washington Post. Cindy, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Hi, thank you.
Ken, President Trump is, as we've noted, is not only called for players who are protesting to be fined. He wants a boycott of the NFL. Here's the first thing I want to ask. Remark for a moment on the unprecedentedness, if that's a word, of a president calling for something like that, of a president getting involved in this.
Well, we have seen presidents get involved in sports, but never to the degree that Donald Trump has, and certainly never picking this politics of grievance that he loves to have with the American people versus actual athletes. It's one thing for a president, and we've seen this before, that they'll take on Hollywood or the news media, which is a great target. But I've never seen a president take on sports icons and sports professional players. And usually that is above the political realm here.
Cindy, I want to know how unusual it is that these coaches and the owners have aligned so closely with the players, and what you think the effect of that may be on the president. I mean, he's not usually cowed by logical arguments or opposition, but might this be different?
Well, it's think of dogs and cats. You know, certainly you occasionally see them socializing with one another. But this is, you know, the players and the NFL both being on the same page. That does not happen very often. You have the owners, you have the players, all pretty much saying that President Trump's comments, in which he referred to people who kneel with a profanity, people like Colin Kaepernick, they really hit hard. I think they really hit the owners hard too. I mean, if you're an owner, no one wants an unhappy workforce, and no one wants a distracted workforce. If you're in the NFL, you know, that's the enemy of everything that goes that an NFL coach stands for. Distraction is just, you know, the no-no. And, you know, I think there's also the awareness that there's something bigger than just the mere sports thing going on here. This is really a personal stance that these players have taken, and the owners are supporting them. I think, you know, even the ones who have contributed to Trump's inaugural event and his campaign
I
are
saw
on
that.
The same page.
Yeah,
yeah,
including Tom Brady. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, even Brady has called out, you know, Brady's always kind of played it coy about whether he supported Trump or not. His wife has made it clear that she does not. But, you know, he's always kind of been coy about it. I mean, you know, you can't get Brady to really say anything about anything, especially something controversial. But, you know, he came out today and he said that the comments were divisive, and he locked arms with one of his receivers yesterday as they stood for the anthem.
A call here from William in Invergrove Heights. Hey, William, how are you feeling about this as you watch it unfold?
Hi. Oh, yes. How you doing? I did watch it unfold, and I kind of feel like it's I do feel like it's disrespectful to a lot of vets and a lot of soldiers who died for this country. I just feel like the national anthem has nothing to do with injustice for African-American people. That's just a situation between the police and African-American people, and it needs to be taken care of in a different manner.
I see. Yeah. So, William, you're saying the protests, as they began, started, I think, with Colin Kaepernick, Ken, and it was more about some of the violence, police shootings. I mean, it didn't have anything really to do with what we're talking about today and the politics of this. What do you think of that?
Well, I think William makes a good point. A lot of it, as we saw with Colin Kaepernick from the beginning, was about police brutality, and we saw about all these, if it weren't for these camera videos, we would not see the horrific number of instances where the police would just be just brutalizing African-Americans. But I just wonder, it may have still been only about Colin Kaepernick had President Trump not had his rally in Alabama on Friday talking about, they have no right to do this. So yes, it is about race, and yes, it is about injustice, and yes, it is about freedom of speech. And we've seen this not only, as you point out, not only Robert Kraft, who's the owner of the New England Patriots, who is a Trump supporter, said that what Trump did was very divisive. But I still suspect that Donald Trump has created all these Colin Kaepernicks by stepping into this thing. Basically, a lot of the people who were locking arms in defiance just are saying, look, the president has no business interfering like this and trying to cut down on the right of self-expression and freedom of speech. And I think he's created a situation that may not have even existed before Friday.
Now here's a call from Remy in Minneapolis. Hi, Remy. How are you thinking about this?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I think that there's something that always happens with Donald Trump. He, as we say, steps into these things very conveniently when there's a much larger thing happening in the news.
What's the larger thing in your view?
Well, Jared Kushner there was a story about Jared Kushner using a private email server to communicate about government issues, and no one's talking about that. We're talking about the NFL, and that's very convenient for him, whether it's Machiavellian or not. It always seems to happen that we get distracted.
Ken, I heard a lot of discussion about what Remy's talking about yesterday on the Sunday shows. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, look, I understand that every time that Donald Trump says something so out of left field or whatever the football equivalent is, they say it's distracting from the Jared Kushner email server. Of course, nobody's saying lock him up like they did with Hillary Clinton. But then there's also the Republican problems with trying to get the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act, and they're saying, well, maybe it's a distraction from that. It seems like whatever Donald Trump does, it's a distraction to something. But I think what the real issue is, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And if he has this mindset on a grievance that he's facing, he'll just tweet it and say it. And whether it's a distraction or not, it just seems like everything seems to be a distraction from reality with the president's tweeting and his actions. So, yeah, I don't know if it's about Jared Kushner as much as about what Donald Trump seems to want to talk about and have the media talk about.
If you just got in on the show here, of course, we're talking with Ken Rudin, as we usually do, about politics. But we asked Cindy Boren to sit in on this, too. She's a sports reporter for The Washington Post, because a lot of us are thinking and reading and hearing about what Donald Trump has said in his tweets about the NFL, some of the protests during the national anthem that occurred during the games yesterday, what's happening with the coaches and the owners as well. And I'm asking you whether you think the players who are kneeling during the national anthem or showing their support or showing what you think is necessary concern about injustice in America, or are they, as President Trump has said, showing disrespect? What's your view on this? 800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. Cindy, I just wanted to ask you about something that Sally Jenkins wrote, your colleague in the Post. Mm-hmm. She says, whether you agree with their cause, Colin Kaepernick and his followers see themselves as activists who are simply trying to take a reasonable and peaceful approach to something that is important to our society and the health and wellness of their community. She says their intent is not to insult the flag, but simply to call for equal treatment under it. That may offend you, but it is not un-American. Okay, what kind of context would you add to that?
I think it's important to place the protests in the context of, what they came from, what caused them. You will remember a couple of years ago the incidents in Ferguson, Missouri, where the unarmed black man was shot. The Rams protested that day. There were some NBA protests
yes,
that day.
Right.
And, that's Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, from the very outset was clear that he was not protesting the military. He supported the military. So did players from the Seattle Seahawks who protested at the same time Kaepernick did initially over a year ago. Doug Baldwin was saying, you know, my father is in the military. I am not protesting the military. I'm protesting the murders of people like Philando Castile. That's what we're protesting, and that's what we want to bring awareness to, that, you know, people are being killed in these communities. These communities need help. And that, you know, it is the symbol of the flag that they're using for that. I mean, I don't know exactly what else they would do to bring attention to it, because, you know, that is really what gets the attention. It's not like wear an armband or something on the field.
Mallory, towards what you just said, Cindy here is saying on Twitter, there's no rule that explicitly says you have to stand. They do say you should, but hey, this is America. You can choose not to. Beth says on Twitter, patriotism is reflected in how we honor our Constitution. Taking a knee is free speech. It honors our country's Constitution. And to Rebecca in St. Paul, Rebecca, how are you thinking about this?
Well, I'm thinking a whole lot of things because I think there's all kinds of reaction. So many things that we're not talking about that causes us all to have so many thoughts. I agree with Mallory. I wanted to point out that the NFL missed their opportunity in the beginning of this thing. Colin Kaepernick took a knee. He was asked by a sports reporter who thought that he was getting some quick insight on possibly an injury report in the preseason.
Uh-huh.
And he genuinely responded to how he was feeling at the time. And the NFL has a rule that says we're not forcing our players to stand. I mean, they had the opportunity then to back it up, to speak on it, to talk about inclusivity, you know, to support their players in it. And they missed that opportunity. They really missed it.
Rebecca, I'm really glad you called. Cindy, I wasn't aware that that's how it started. That was the genesis of this with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he really brought the attention to it because a reporter for the NFL Network came up to him after he saw him sitting on the sideline. He wasn't playing for the 49ers at the time. He wasn't. He was injured, and he was sitting off on the bench back behind the line, you know, of players that were standing. And it took, I think he sat for two or three preseason games before people even noticed.
Well.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, wait a minute, that's Kaepernick sitting there. And Steve White of the NFL Network went up to him and said, you know, what's going on? And he spoke about it.
Huh. Nikki in Minneapolis called to say, I'm too young to remember this, but I recall hearing about players raising fists at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. This feels cyclical. Ken, you're not too young to remember that.
I remember that so well.
I'm sure you do.
I remember it so well. That's the first thing I thought of. This is 1968 in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. It's Tommy Smith and John Carlos. They were the two runners who raised their fist, their black clenched fist, in protest to, I guess it was police brutality. It may have been Vietnam. And it was so unpopular. Remember, if memory serves, they were booed by the crowd in Mexico City.
They were.
And basically,
I just saw a documentary on this, Ken. And yes, indeed, they were booed. And it was very controversial.
I absolutely was. I was trying to rack my brain to think of another thing. And I know, you know, presidents always like to get involved in sports. Richard Nixon, I think, even sent in a play to the Washington Redskins that turned into an interception. But his favorite coach was George Allen at the time, and Nixon sent in a play. But I've never seen a president that almost seems to divide. And we always talk about uniting rather than dividing. This president seems to want to pick us against them. And it's not only, as we see with the NFL and taking a knee, or sitting during the national anthem, but Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, Stephen Curry tweeted something like, you know, we're not going to go. We don't want to come to the White House to celebrate our championship.
Right.
So Trump disinvites the entire team. It's just that if you insult him in some way, he'll just react in such a completely other way. And as I said, I think that's part, look, there's obviously injustice in this country, but I still suspect that a lot of it is reaction to what Trump said on Friday. And they said, look, if the president of the United States feels this little about constitutional rights, such as free speech, we'll certainly take advantage of it.
Here's an interesting question, Cindy, from Aditya in Plymouth. She says, I was just wondering, when the players are on the field, are they representing the team and their group? She says they should be protesting in their, what she put as sacred spaces, instead. How does that break down with whether this is individual opinion and expression or how this fits with how the team is supposed to conduct themselves?
Well, given that they're in uniform, they're standing there getting ready to play as a team, they do represent their teams. On the other hand, I think there's a realization here that everyone has moved beyond that point. And, you know, some of the NBA players have taken the lead on that. You know, two coaches, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich, have been very outspoken ever since Trump was elected, as has LeBron James, who called the president a bum in a tweet this weekend. I think the genie's out of the bottle there. Players, no matter what uniform they're wearing, if they're in uniform or not, whether they're standing on the field or not, are going to protest. And, you know, it's only been in the last, 8 or so years that players have even come out onto the field before NFL games. They always stayed in the locker room. But, you know, now they have the giant flag display and, you know, the NFL cloaks itself in that. And, you know, I mean, it's not even shown on most broadcasts, frankly, only on the national broadcast before the kickoff Thursday and before the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it's just an in-stadium thing and really not a lot of people pay attention. They do now.
Right.
But it's still not really televised, although it was yesterday across the land.
On Twitter, a listener says, in trying to command patriotism, which is really a thinly veiled bone to his base, she's talking about the president, the display of patriotism becomes inherently disingenuous. Rich says players who take a knee are simply trying to say America should uphold the values stated in the Constitution, equality for all. I'm also hearing from people who are uncomfortable with this, what they view as a sign of disrespect here to the flag. To the phones, to Carter in Brooklyn Park. Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. What are you thinking on this?
Well, I just got to tell you, most of the people that make the comments that is disrespectful to the military never served. I'm former Navy, and one of the things that we would do is we're going to fight, and we're going to protect America at any cost. So when you sit or you stand or you kneel, that's not what we're fighting for. We're fighting for the freedom for you to do what you want to do. So when I hear people say, hey, you know, it's disrespectful to the vets, what's disrespectful to the vets is when you don't have freedom, when you don't have freedom of speech. That's when it's disrespectful.
Carter, what branch of the service did you serve in?
In the Navy.
Really good to have your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Glad you heard the discussion. To Josh in St. Louis Park. Hi, Josh. What are you thinking about?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. Number one, Tim Tebow. When he kneeled, it was for a completely different reason. But, man, look how that blew up his media coverage. A lot would say for the negative. Number two, we pay these men millions of dollars a year. We buy their shoes. We buy their clothing lines. We freak out when they have babies and you know, the whole world blows up. But all of a sudden, when they develop a conscience and they develop a mission to support and fellow teammates to support, then it's not okay. And it's a two-sided, two-faced kind of thing to me.
Okay.
I mean, I support them doing it, but you know, I think that the president has no business telling them what they can do.
Ken, politically, we're hearing some people on Twitter talking about it's good for his base. And President Trump is always very conscious of, you know, touching base with his base. How about the larger politics of this?
Well, those last two calls, I think, to me, were very, very instructive. And Josh has made a very, very good point that If you agree with Tim Tebow, you liked his kind of his own personal political discussion and protest. And if you didn't like him, if you thought he was over the top, he was a bad guy. And the same with Colin Kaepernick. So it just seems like it depends on what people's views are on so many issues, whether Kaepernick is a good guy or Tebow is a good guy. But let me just go back quickly to what Carter was saying.
Sure.
And again, everything to me, of course, is a reflection, a remembrance of the past. And as I spoke about on your show last week, talking about how enthralled and engaged I was in the Ken Burns special on PBS, the Vietnam special, Carter made a very, very important point that the people who protested the war in Vietnam, I mean, you think of all these people who went to serve our country and the sacrifices they made in Vietnam and the 58,000 Americans who died. What they did, I mean, not explicitly, but what they did was to fight for the freedoms that we are now allowed to do, to protest the war, protest injustice, protest police brutality. So there is a sacrifice that many people are making that I think Donald Trump misses the ball on completely.
Cindy, what do you think happens next?
I think this is a time, as it was in the 60s, of activism for athletes. I don't think it goes away. You will remember Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, Kareem and Abdul-Jabbar, they were all quite vocal about things that were going on in the 60s, and I think we're sort of at that place again. And I think that, you know, athletes may be paid lots of money, but I think they also know where they come from, whether they're wealthy or poor, whatever their background is. And I think they also see the community. They see the fans and what the community is like that they're living in. And I think they want to try to make things better. They want to use their voice. I don't think it's going away.
I don't see why, if you make a lot of money and you're in the entertainment field, you don't get a right to some kind of activism. I mean, there's plenty of activists that come from very many different areas of entertainment in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just be smart about it. You've seen some stupid activism, before too, but mostly from celebrities, not from sports people. But I think that they're going to continue to use their voice. Hopefully, they do it in a little more eloquent way than LeBron James did on Friday night. But there have been plenty of times when he was very eloquent when he and the Miami Heat protested after Trayvon Martin was murdered.
Right, that's right.
This is not a new issue for LeBron James.
Cindy, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Come back.
Thank you.
Cindy Bourne is a sports reporter for The Washington Post. And Mr. Junkie Man, I know you're back every Monday, so I'm looking forward to talking to you next Monday. Thank you.
Thank you so much.